This long central portion of a church is known as a nave, N-A-V-E. It comes from a Latin word, navis, N-A-V-I-S. That means boat, ship. We get the word navigation from this root. It may seem like an odd association for a church to recall a ship, but maybe in childhood or even as an adult, when you were a little distracted in church, you looked up and you thought that the church looked a little bit like the inverted hull of a ship. It's part of the association, but the wisdom behind it goes much deeper. You think of the disciples when they are first called by the Lord. What are they doing? They're mending nets by a boat on the Sea of Galilee. Even Peter himself is sometimes connected with the church, in that we think of the church throughout salvation history as the bark of Peter that rides upon the waves of history itself, sometimes in a violent and uneasy way, even if we think of the church in our own day, the challenges that the church faces. But still, the church survives throughout human history and will remain until the fullness of time. We think of the disciples themselves. They knew this uneasiness of being on a boat when the storm came on the Sea of Galilee and the Lord rebukes the wind and the sea to restore order and calm. Of all days in the liturgical year, this is a pretty good one to think of the church as a boat, as a vessel. Sometimes we think of the church as a purely earthly phenomenon confined to this world. But the truth is that the church, as this vessel, spans heaven and earth. And the saints are those brothers and sisters of ours, our elders, who already dwell in paradise. They look upon us. We are part of the same body. And we'd be foolish if we didn't acknowledge them as part of this vessel that contains us. We'd be even more foolish if we didn't ask for their help from time to time. Today is a great day to ask for such help in our lives. Molding a book that is one of four volumes of Butler's Lives of the Saints, this book is dedicated to the saints whose feast days are found in these last 3 months of the year. It happens that the person who gave me these four books is actually here, and I didn't ask if I could mention him, but about 10 years ago, Deacon Robert Deaver gave me these four books, so you'll be happy to know I'm still reading them. So for today's entry for All Saints, it has a beautiful two pages. I won't read all the pages to you, but it gives us five reasons why this is a very virtuous and holy day that we should celebrate. So briefly, I'd like to share these five reasons with you. The first, the church thus honors all the saints reigning together in glory to give thanks to God for the graces and crowns of his servants. When we praise the saints, we are praising God. We're giving thanks for the glories that he allowed to be revealed in their lives. Some might say, well, you obscure your praise of God if you praise saints. It struck me earlier today that a way to think of this is the ceiling of the church. No one has ever said to me, the stars get in the way when I look at the ceiling. I wish I just saw the blue. I could see it better without the stars. The opposite seems to be the case. The stars have a way of bringing out in greater relief the beauty of the ceiling itself, even making it feel a little closer for us. When we praise the saints, we are praising the glory of God. The second reason is to move ourselves to strive after their virtues by considering their example. It's not enough to admire from a distance what was realized in the lives of these men, women, and children. Today is an opportunity to desire within our hearts a closeness with them. A third reason is to implore the divine mercy through the multitude of powerful intercessors. Ask for God's help through these people who are one of us, who know the challenges of our lives, the struggles that we face, the obstacles toward holiness that exist, as men and women who were frail and fragile in their own lives. Because they know us well, like physicians, they can help us to attain what they themselves reached in their lives. Even when it comes to our state in life, no state of life has not been honored by saints. So there may be particular saints who know us well enough that their prayers can be particularly beneficial. Here's a fourth one. This may surprise you a little bit. To repair any failure or insufficiency in not having duly honored God and His saints on their particular festivals. So if you have a favorite saint and you forgot it was their feast day until the day after, today is kind of like a makeup day to remember a favorite saint if they slip through your grasp during the year. So here's the final one, and I like this one a lot. To glorify Him and those saints who are unknown to us, and for whom no particular festivals are appointed. There are many saints that we're not aware of, thousands of them. We may know some well, others not. It gives us a chance today to honor those that we don't know. But also, according to the second part of that phrase, to remember that there are many saints who were never formally canonized in this life, who are in heaven, recognized as saints before God. It's this latter category of people that we may know from our own lives, people we're certain are in the presence of God, saints before God, those who we know, maybe even some people who worship where we are this very moment. We honor those who are saints before God who aren't recognized in this book. Final little insight from a saint that I think of today would be one of the lesser known saints. No one I suspect has heard of, someone called Saint Day Colas. He was an Irish monk who died at the beginning of the 7th century. Some saints in this book may have 5-6 pages. There's much information on their lives. Some may be a very short paragraph, and that gives you hope. That's my kind of saint. They made the book, even if we don't know a lot about them. Most people don't pray to them, so we've got, maybe they have an empty waiting list, people to pray to them. So one of them is Day Colas. Not a lot's known about him, dies in the early 7th century, he's born in Ireland, becomes a monk as a very young man. And he's in a monastery with a famous saint, Columba, who founded a lot of monasteries in Ireland, later in France. So as a young man, Day Colas is with the abbot, this great holy man, Columba. Columba says to him, Day Colas, why are you always smiling? And he said, because no one can take God from me. It's a beautiful line, strikes right at the heart of the faith and what it means to be a saint. I'm smiling because no one can take God from me.